All right, welcome back. 11 o'clock hour of the Connor Abber Show. You're on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. People forget, but we are here to remind you. Iowa Western won a national championship last year. Josh was there. He remembers.
I was. It was beautiful. It was glorious.
Scott Strohmeyer, the head coach, was, of course, there as well. He joins us now on the 42 Degrees The Source Hotline. Stro, good to chat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. What's the approach to spring ball coming off of a national championship? Like, is everybody ready to go? I guess it feels like it was just yesterday. It's a quick turnaround here.
Yeah, I know. It seems to get shorter and shorter when you play into December, but it's been good. You know, we just like last year, we have a lot of new faces, you know, and not a lot of returners, but obviously they were in the program last year as either red shirts, and then we filtered in, you know, a few transfers. And so, you know, I mean, we've had good practices and we have a lot of guys that are just trying to get them reps and see who can, you know, who's going to be the next one.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause like you're right. You have so much turnover. You're used to that every year. That's just part of life in junior college football. Is there anything you have to say to like, hey, we won a national championship a couple months ago, the people in these jerseys, but most of you guys were not there. Like, how do you kind of approach that sentiment of being likely the, you know, preseason number one team, but also it's a new group?
Well, I mean, I've addressed it, you know, with the group, you know, if we weren't practicing good early on, like, it does not matter what we did last year.
Yep.
There's not many guys on here that's on this team that played in that national championship game. So it's not guaranteed that we're going to be back into it. And we have to focus on, you know, this group now. You know, the same goals are there. It's just, you know, a bunch of new faces. And some of the returning guys, you know, the culture, you know, the word that everybody uses, but the program, you need those guys to kind of, hey, this is how we do it here. We can say it till we're blue in the face, but when a returning player who they respect can lead that, I think that's the biggest thing. That's why we've been really successful with the major turnarounds that we've had is the leadership of, you know, some of those guys who did play last year who were in the program.
Hey, you mentioned it, a bunch of new faces. Tell us about some of those new faces in particular.
Well, you know, I think right now as a wide receiver core, you know, and we got, there's some things we need to work on, like some academics and things like that. But, you know, we got a Javon Thomas, he transferred himself to Florida, who's had really good spring. You know, Roger Walters is a wide receiver who transferred from Charlotte. And then we got Keon Brown. He actually signed with Oklahoma, but went to Garden City. And then when the coaching changed, he transferred over. I hired their wide receiver coach, Von Van Dam. So that's kind of how we got Keon Brown. But, you know, Lucci Fanone's back, played last year for us. He's really the only wide receiver that played. But it's probably the biggest change that we've had as far as we haven't had those game changers necessarily. We had LJ Fitzpatrick for 2 years. We didn't have those game breakers. And this one, you know, as a group, you know, we got a kid, he's a high school kid who graduated early, Titus Myers, who's, I mean, we're, you know, like a pleasant surprise. So, you know, I feel we can play seven or eight guys that are, you know, as good as what we had. You know, and obviously the one that, you know, there's a lot of talk on is, you know, we got Hunter Deckers from Iowa State, who's been really, really impressive. And you know why he played in the Big 12, played 19 games or started 12 of them, you know. And then I got a redshirt, A.J. Raines, who was a high school kid. But, you know, and then defensively, there's just a lot of, you know, we have a good core that we redshirted, but we brought in Ephraim Deese. He's a DN from Charlotte who is, you know, I think has had a really, really good spring as well, you know, so far. So, you know, and then, like I said, then you filter in those other guys.
Yeah. You mentioned, I mean, I want to talk about the offense in general in a second, because I think it's a really interesting sort of dynamic, but like, let's stop on Hunter real quick. You mentioned him, got him in from Iowa State. Like, what's his approach Coming off of obviously, you know, kind of a tumultuous year for him now, and now playing at this level.
Well, you know, and it was funny because I was dropping my daughter off at school, and I got a text, and I just looked at it, and it was Hunter, and we have Hunter Dale, who's from Lewis Central, who was at Iowa State, so I figured it was him.
That's right, yeah.
And then I'm like, I got to the stoplight, I looked again, I'm like, this is Hunter Deckers. Like, I better call him back. So he's been unbelievable. You know, as far as I think it's humbled him a little bit. He know he made a mistake. But once the story gets out, people are going to be like, okay, you know, some of them, I think they made a statement on, because there's many more people that have done way worse things. That are still playing. And so I think, you know, once he found out that he wasn't going to be able to play in the NCAA, this was his only option, because you can't even go NAI either. And so he reached out to us. He knows our program, and he's going to try to play a year and then see if we can't get him in, you know, the USFL or, you know, one of the Canadian league or something like that. And just kind of, you know, bring it back. He's got the arm talent to play at a high, high level.
Well, it takes, I think this is my takeaway from that entire thing. Like, you know, he didn't have to keep playing football. Like it tells me that he really likes football, you know. Some people would say, like, if I can't play at that level, then I'm not going to play at all, especially of his talent, of his caliber. But he's like, no, yeah. I want to play.
Well, and he's going to, at the end of the month, he's going to have his bachelor's degree from Iowa State, you know, so he could go right into the workforce or whatever, but he wants to, you know, see if he can play.
So with that being said, Stro, I mean, you mentioned a whole bunch of wide receivers who have dropped down from, in some cases, the Power 5 level and the Division 1 level, certainly FBS. And then you got, you know, you got a pretty dang good quarterback. Like, what is the feel with the offense right now? Because you guys have been known over these last couple of years now as a you know, defensively
dominant,
focused. Right. So, well, how's that going right now?
You know, we're in staff meeting, and I was like, because we're having some success this spring, you know, and in other springs, like last spring, I mean, it was almost brutal. You know, we're like, we're never going to win a game because we can't do anything, right? D-line was really good and secondary was really good. And now we're, you know, got some playmakers. Now we can get some plays on them. And I said, it's either A, we're way better offensively, or we're not as good defensively, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think I still think we're good defensively. It's just now we have some of those playmakers that we don't have to be one dimensional, and we can throw the ball down the field. And I mean, I'll bet today Keon Brown had 4 touchdowns on just go balls. You know, he just runs by people. and when you got a quarterback that can throw at that, you know, that distance and accurate down the field, you get some of those big plays, and that's just going to make it a lot easier. And we've changed some things offensively to help us have success against our defense, as well as in our quick game, getting the ball out as quick as, we're not going to sit back against our D-line and just, you know, sit in the pocket all day, you know. So we had to change some things, which not only is just against our defense, it will be, that's what we need to do in the pass game. And that's what we spent this off season trying to, you know, go visit with people and see some things that they're doing and how can we tweak some of the things we're doing.
Iron sharpens iron, right? So I imagine,
yeah, exactly,
having some more firepower on offense helps your defense as well. Like, it works both ways.
Yes, it does. You know, and I'll be honest, like, in the last couple of years, I don't want to use the word conservative necessarily, but there's numerous times in games where we just didn't want to put them in a bad spot, or we got the lead and no one can drive the football. We're punting it, you know what I mean? Or now it might be, you know, 4th and 3, and we feel really confident in some, you know, throwing the football. We'll go for it, you know. And so I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, the last couple of years, like I said, there's numerous times I'm just like, just keep running it. If we got a punt, we punt. That's fine. Make them go 80 yards to score a touchdown.
It's funny because, like, you know, you get some more firepower on the offense. Like you just said, there's that constant push and pull of like, okay, I'm just going to trust our defense every single time. It'll be interesting to see what the approach is like when you have so much trust in both, you know, like the push and pull in between protecting the defense and also saying, hey, I think our guys can get 3 yards in any given moment.
Yes, exactly. And like I said, we've had years like that where, you know, we had extreme confidence in our offense and our defense was good too, you know, but, and we were a little bit more aggressive, you know, and we'll see. I mean, maybe it's easy talk. When I get into the game, it might be different, but at the same time, like I said, right where we're at today after 8 practices, you know, I feel a lot more confident offensively than I have in numerous springs ago, you know, we haven't had a dynamic outside receiver since Taj Williams probably, and that was in 2014 and 15, you know, 2015. Now we've had some solid players, but from a dynamic standpoint.
Hey, what's the summer look like for you guys just in terms of managing the roster, you know, looking at options that you guys have to bring into your program?
Yep.
It's constantly moving. There's stuff going on all the time. What are the next, I guess, few weeks leading into the summer and then the summer look like?
You know, like right now with spring, we got to see where our needs are going to be. You know,
right.
Do we feel confident? I mean, if you want, I could hire probably 10 guys to sift through the portal right now, because every time I looked on social media, there was about 15 guys in the portal. you know, so, you know, we'll do some of that, but we're basing it off of what we need, you know, and where we feel we need some depth or whatever. And then, you know, some guys will be taking summer school, but I try to get these guys here unless they need it to graduate. I try to get them out of here in the month of June. And then again, that allows us, I mean, we didn't get Hunter Watson until July, you know,
right,
last year. So you're always finding guys, you know, late, but we also came out of spring knowing that we had to find one at least, you know, and so we'll continue to recruit. We got a good incoming class that we feel. And, you know, the thing is there's a lot of factors that come in. You can feel good about something, but then there's the academic piece. And sometimes there's a financial piece. Okay. And sometimes, you know, things just happen in their life that they can't make it back, or they don't want to play no more, or whatever it may be. Or the other thing is I got probably 9 guys that could, if they get an offer, could leave anytime. They could accept the offer because they're
right,
qualifiers. So it's funny because I was just talking to there was a Division I coach here today, and he was talking about you know, they lost 5 guys in the portal just yesterday, and I said he's a junior college guy too. I said, well, every coach, that's what junior college coaches have been doing their entire life. Cause we don't know, we've been pretty good of knowing, you know, so I'm prepared that I could lose 2 corners. I'm prepared I could lose a defensive end. I'm prepared I could lose an offensive lineman. You know, so you have to prepare for that in your recruiting already. And then that's why we've been pretty talented, is because we've redshirted the last 2 years, really in the secondary, we redshirted every kid we brought in. Then they come play the next year, then we got another group. So you got to kind of plan ahead.
Now that we're another, you know, cycle, I guess, into this here, I know we've talked about this before, just the transfer portal's impact on, mm-hmm, on your guys' program. Like you said, it's constant upheaval all the time. And in a lot of cases, those junior college players who might be in line for a spot, all of a sudden the plug gets pulled on them last second.
Yep.
Like we're another year further into this now. From your perspective, have things like steadied out, evened out, or is it just as wild as it was at the beginning?
Well, I still think it's wild. You know, I think here's what's happening. Like when it first started, like we stopped messing with the portal. Like I wasn't heavy into it. You know, if we knew somebody or we seen it, we would reach out. Or what's happening now, like in the Roger Walters, the Javon Thomas got hurt at South Florida his freshman year. Okay, so he has no film. Zero film coming off of a meniscus. okay? So not a lot of schools are jumping at him because they're going after the one that was at, you know, the one who was at South Florida who entered the portal and has 30 catches.
Right.
Roger Walters didn't have any film from Charlotte.
Right.
Okay. You know, so now those guys are thinking a little bit more about the junior college. There is no way all these kids in the portal are going to find a home. Like, there's it can't happen, you know. So at some point, the first portal window was kind of, you know, that was crazy. This second portal window, there's a lot of people realizing, like, hey, I better start looking at my options. The biggest challenge you have in the portal now is how good is the player? Just because he's at this school, or he was even a four-star kid coming out of high school, and he's in the portal, because all these coaches now, they're using it as, you might want to enter the portal because we're moving on, type of thing. And so, like, there was the school that was here today, the one had five of them. I asked them, I said, were you guys surprised or you guys disappointed in any of them? Like, to be honest with you, four of them we told that their best option might be to enter the portal. You know, so now if they can't play there, that doesn't mean they can't play here. But, you know, so you got to sift through a lot more in the transfer portal now than you had to in the past.
Yeah. And like you said, at a certain point, you know, if you want to play and if you want to continue to play, you have to play. There's only so many places where you could play. Like, so yeah. I think that's probably where an option like junior college, you guys in particular, becomes a really good one for some people.
Yep. You know, and I think, like, a lot of times it was always they either had an off the field issue or it was academics, where it's not that case anymore.
Probably more injuries, you know, right? More injury guys.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. And, you know, like I said, the ones we got right now, I'm really, really surprised with. And really, one of the transfers had academic issues that we have to get lined out. Otherwise, the other ones, they're on track to graduate in December.
Yeah, man, it is constantly moving. Stro, okay, so your spring game, by the way, is May 3rd, Friday, May 3rd.
Yep.
What should people expect out at the spring game in a couple weeks?
Well, I'm hoping that we stay healthy enough that we can split the team in two and kind of play just a little game. If not, we'll go offense versus defense. But, you know, I'm really excited just to get these guys, this new group out there, and, you know, let the fans come and see what the 2024, you know, Reaver football team is going to look like. And hopefully on my end, you know, as a head coach, you want to score a lot of points because I coach on offense, but you also don't want to give up a lot of points because
it's hard.
You know, so you're never going to leave a spring game happy either way. So we want to come out of the thing healthy and give the fans as much. And, you know, it's really good for the parents too, because some of these kids maybe didn't play or may not play much next year, and it gives them an opportunity to come to a game and watch their son play.
Awesome. Well, we'll expect a very angry Coach Stroh on Friday, May 3rd. Thanks, Coach. Good to chat as always. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys.
That's Scott Strohmeyer, the head coach of the Iowa Western Reavers. If you missed it in there, there was some news buried in there. I don't know if we've, like, broke news before, but...
We're not the breaking news type.
No, but like if I tweeted it, or some maybe if somebody out there listening was like, hey, look, because I you know, you do a search for Hunter Deckers right now, and nobody's really heard of him for a few months now. So he was caught up in the Iowa State gambling deal last year, and subsequently punished, and he, you know, pled guilty to that piece of it. And then from the NCAA standpoint, he was, you know, he had his eligibility effectively removed. And so he drops down to the NJCAA and he was going to play at Iowa Western for a year. He was going to be the Iowa State quarterback last year, had some production behind him, a lot of talent. And he's going to be the Iowa Western quarterback this year, which is a huge get for Iowa Western, obviously, but, you know, a good opportunity for him to come out and play, and then see what he could do if he can get a look at the professional level. The year, mean, a guy like that is going to have some real success at Iowa State this year. Or I'm sorry, Iowa Western.
I would think so. Yeah. A lot of the things Stroh said reminded me of the 2012 team that won a national championship and was beating teams like 70-10.
It's complete dominance
each week. Yeah, so that would be fun to watch week in, week out.
It would be. It would be. Josh will be there.
I'll be there.
You'll be in a lot of different places
punching his numbers into the stat computer.
There's gonna be a lot of numbers to punch in, Josh. All right, coming back, we'll talk to Jacob Bedilla. Speaking of Zaporta, what's Creighton doing? What's Nebraska doing? They've been a little bit more active. They got some guys. So we'll talk to Jacob about that and plenty more as we do next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.